Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Kelsey, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the show. Thursday, March 10th, we're back with you here on a beautiful Southern California day.
It is.
It is. No more winter here, folks.
I know. I'm not complaining. I love it.
I know you do. I know you do. And you're dressed in your beautiful red today. The red really suits you nicely, you know? Yeah, with the brown hair and everything. And besides, red is my favorite color, so I guess everything looks great
it's
in red,
mine,
right?
too. Well, it's one of mine. I don't know. Sometimes I can't decide, but I like red, too.
What other colors do you like?
I like green, like kind of like a Kelly green, yeah, because my eyes are green, and so it kind of works, but yeah.
That's an unusual color.
I know.
Right? Green.
It is, yeah.
Yeah,
but like a rich green, like a Kelly green, you know, not like a lime green.
Okay.
And then I like to wear like black and red. And
I know, black is cool, so, and red and black go perfect together,
they
I think.
Do.
So, yeah, I like bright colors. I like orange, too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It just, I don't know. If you don't put orange or red in something, it's not as colorful as it could be.
That is so true.
Right?
Yeah, orange is a disaster on me. But you would look great
that many
in
people.
Orange.
Well, I don't know. I wasn't talking about clothes, really. I meant more like the colors.
Yeah.
Yeah, like if you noticed on our website, there's a lot of orange and
there
things
is.
Like that.
There is. Yeah, I like that.
So I like that. So this is cool. Now, yesterday we had great guests here, right?
Oh my gosh, it was so much
fun. We had Jim and Bobby, and they didn't let me forget that I said they were older.
Oh my gosh, you know what? It's so funny because I knew that was going to come up.
Right?
So, yes. Because you're like, they're our elders.
No, I didn't say elders. I just said they're older.
What did you say?
They're older.
You said something like that.
I said they're older. He remembered it word for word.
Oh gosh.
Right. But I told him it wasn't really meant in a bad way at all.
No,
you know, I mean, it's like I love older people. You learn so much from them and everything. And besides, they're not that much older. I mean, if I look at myself, I'm like, relax. You know.
I mean, you know, it's just kind of like factual too, if you think about it.
Right. Yeah.
He's younger. He's older. Whatever.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm just too preoccupied with age, I guess.
You are.
Right.
You start thinking about something else.
Right.
Who cares?
I know. I know. But
it's a fact of life. Everybody gets old.
That's
Everybody's young at one point. Like,
that's
whatever.
True. But we want different things in our lives, you know. And some things you just can't get.
I guess
it's hard.
So.
But so tonight I'm going to the. Hopefully that situation will change because tonight I'm going to the Great Love Debate.
Oh my gosh! Yes.
Yes. Well, I'm hoping to go if I can really make arrangements for work here. But
oh, that'll be so
I'm really
fun.
Hoping. And I'm taking Casey with me from downstairs.
Oh, my God. Are you really?
Yeah.
I love it.
We're
going
to have a blast. I'm not going to those singles events anymore alone. Forget about it.
Oh,
no
good.
Way. So they're going to have Dr. Drew there and a couple of other relationship celebrities, whatever. Laurel, who sat here with Brian, she's going to be in the Laurel House.
Awesome.
Yeah, so I'm sure there's going to be a lot to tell tomorrow. Just cross your fingers that I can actually leave and go. But that should be fun. It's just, I don't know why they're starting it so early, like at 7, 7:30, you know?
Oh, that's perfect. That's not early.
It is?
Yeah.
Well,
any later,
okay.
People are like, Well, I don't know. I am anyways, but.
This town just starts so early and goes to sleep so early, you know? I mean, what is this, you know? You go to other places in the world, it's like all night. People only go out at 11.
See, that would drive me insane.
Really?
Just, oh, my God. I would, like, not be able to function. Because, you know, I'm working
but
that
they do.
Job this
right.
week. Yeah. And, you know, I work, you know, managing the place till about, like, 11 or something. And I'm just like...
Yeah, I know. You get tired.
I mean, it is past my bedtime. Like, all the, like, older people are, like, you know, still going. And
Well, don't run yourself to the ground. I mean, hard work is good, but you don't want to kill yourself.
Yeah, but I'm an early bird.
Yeah,
so
that's
I
true.
Like to get up early usually.
Yeah. So what's early for you? Like 6?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, 5:30 or 6.
Yeah, I wish I could get up that early. I love it the way it is outside when it's that early.
Isn't it nice?
The air is fresh and clean. Everybody's still asleep.
Yeah.
It's nice, yeah.
And for me, it's kind of a time where I just, like, do all my personal stuff.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Once the day gets going and you have, like, obligations and you have to be here and there and everything, then you don't, you know, get to do, like, your thing a lot. And then a lot of times by the night, I'm, like, just wanting to chill and, like, eat.
That's true. Yeah.
And, like, veg on the couch.
Right, I know.
So it's a good time for me to, like, get some stuff done.
I know. I'm thinking if I can get up, if I can get to bed at 11 and get up at 6, I should be fine. You know, I mean, it's plenty of sleep. And plus, I'd be up early. But it's like I have to find something to actually do to make me get up. Otherwise, if it's just to enjoy the weather or the air, it's not a good enough reason to get out of bed, you know?
That's
at 6
true.
O'clock in the morning.
That's true.
So maybe I'll start integrating a gym or something into all this.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I mean, I do that every morning. I actually didn't get to work out this morning, and I feel just, like, sluggish.
Right? Yeah, I know. Once you start, it's hard to stop.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I'll have to do it this afternoon.
Yeah, so for those of you wondering about the Great Love Debate, if you're here in L.A. and you're single, you owe it to yourself to go tonight. It's going to be the Hollywood Improv. Starts at 7. I think tickets are like $20 or something to get in, so it's nothing. And you're going to see people are going to actually ask, you know, why is everybody still single? And so they're debating that, and it's a great place to meet the other sex, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So so we hope to see everybody there. Half of LA should be there, and that will be fun. So yeah, so that's it. So I hope I have stories to tell tomorrow.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear all about it. It'll be fun nonetheless. Do they have free drinks, did I hear?
No. Actually, it's a two-item minimum.
Two-drink minimum?
Well, they say two-item because I guess you can eat, too, if you want.
Oh, that pick counts. Your poison, right?
Exactly.
Like,
but
I'll just take
they
the
do
drinks.
Have pretty good food there, I remember, because I go there sometimes for comedy shows.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so
okay.
Yeah, so they have pretty good food there. But, yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's going to be a different kind of vibe tonight at the Improv, but I can't wait to see what it's like, you know.
Yeah, you're going to have fun.
Yeah. So yesterday I got, like, a great idea. These people came in, hosts, and they brought a couple of, like, figurines with them, you know, like Barbies or something that looked like them. They're like their likenesses in a little figurine. I said, wait a minute. They said, this is 3D printing, right? They said, yeah. Have you heard of 3D printing?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like
it was all over CES, you know, when I was working CES.
Was it really?
Yeah. It was all over.
Because it's the hottest thing right now.
Yeah.
So then, and then you have to get a scanner, a 3D scanner. I asked them, did they scan you? They said, yeah. So then I thought to myself, new toy for me. And you know what? It's like that's how I started many of my businesses is when I discovered new technology. Like, you know, back in 1990, I discovered I could do animation on the computer if I wanted to. And I started investing in that and started a business that was very successful.
Oh, how exciting.
Yeah, you know. And the same with the radio. I discovered the technology and everything. Now I've discovered this technology, and I'm thinking the sky's the limit with what I can do with this thing.
Maybe
we'll make figurines of all the hosts here and all.
You know,
whoever wants one, you know. We'll make one. We can charge for it.
Yeah.
What the hell? It's like a unique thing. Think of it.
It's so
you
cool.
Get one of your own, you know, your own
I
thing.
I know. It's perfect for L.A.
It is, you know. Exactly. Here I am. Exactly. Give out figurines of yourself,
oh,
right?
My God.
Is that like the ultimate narcissism or what?
I know, honey. I'm going out of town. You can have this and tell it back. Oh, my God.
I know. To give to your fans or something. You know? Wow, that's
it's true to size. Oh, my God.
Yes.
It's kind of creepy, but.
I know. But I thought I got to get into this. So I already ordered $1,500 worth of stuff.
You did not.
I did.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you see, it's very dangerous.
Okay,
to shop
I want
to
raise. I want to raise if you're ordering $1,500 worth of 3D scanning stuff.
I know. I don't know how the hell I'm going to pay for this, but.
Oh, my God.
Don't ask me. But at 3 o'clock in the morning, you make some stupid.
Oh, my God. I know.
Purchases, right?
Yes, you do.
Right. No, but this is definitely a way to. to make a couple bucks too, you know. There's always ways to monetize things.
That's cool. It's really fascinating to me too.
But you get one for free, okay? How's
that? Yay! Okay.
So you can show it to other people and then they'll want it.
That sounds good.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's bring in our guest. We have a guest here. I know we're surprising you. Often we tease the show with our guest, but today we just got right into things. But we have Damian Bertrand in the studio. Welcome to the show, Damian.
Hey, Sam, how are you?
Good. Thank you for joining us.
Well, it's great to be here.
Yeah.
Damian is a cool guy, very handsome too. He's a host on the station, and you host the show Past Lives. And it's on at Tuesdays at 4, right?
Yeah, every Tuesday at 4 o'clock here. I think I joined the team here, in December?
Yes.
And the real reason I joined the team was, and I'd never really thought about doing radio.
Yeah.
But it was a natural fit for me because a lot of my, you know, followers on Twitter and my fans that watch my TV show Past Lives were asking, you know, why isn't the show on anymore? We want to see season 2. We want to hear more about Past Lives, Past Life Regression, hypnotherapy, all the stuff you do. And I said, well, until my show comes back on the air, let's get a voice and let's get some interesting guests that can come on and we can talk about past life experiences and, you know, all kinds of uses of hypnotherapy.
So this goes naturally with what you do.
Yeah.
You need to connect with people and everything.
Yeah. I mean, the relationships I have with my clients, whether on the TV show or in my clinic and on Sunset here in West Hollywood, is so personal because people come in for, you know, for you to treat certain things with them, like either losing weight, quitting smoking.
Oh my gosh, really?
Yeah, through hypnosis. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I want to try it.
But you don't smoke.
You don't need to lose weight.
I know, but I think of something.
You can do past life regression without having to quit anything.
That's right.
Yeah.
I want to know what I was in a past life. I think I was crazy.
But you know what?
I think I was like a gypsy or something.
Were you? Do you like to travel?
Oh my God, yeah.
Interesting.
But I don't know. It's and I'm like, you know, I'm just super like black sheepy.
I don't know. Does that have anything to do with your previous lives? I mean, don't you come back as someone totally different?
Well, the belief and theory behind past life regression is that your soul comes back through many different lifetimes and many different incarnations throughout periods of time. And the reason for that is so that you can perfect yourself as a human being and as a soul and that you don't ever have to come back. And
right.
You can go into the afterlife as a perfect soul.
Right.
So, you know, we always have to be careful with karma in every life because there is something that can be passed on through, you know, regression or through your lives going into future lives, and you carry some of that karma with you in every life. So basically good experiences, bad experiences, you know, emotional events that have happened to you, loved ones that you tried to care for and that you're going to see again in future lives, you carry this with you. So that's kind of the reason that we do past life regression therapy. It's a lot of people come to me and say, I don't know how come I'm so musically inclined. No one in my family is. I was playing the piano when I was 3 and I was so amazed. You know, I was great. Uh-huh. Or, you know, I don't understand why I haven't found my soulmate. Or I don't understand how I have this wonderful husband. I just don't love him. And wow. I have these children and I feel disconnected to them.
Oh my gosh.
You know, or whatever it is. Yeah. Or I feel abandoned by my own parents. I don't understand. So we go through a past life regression and to see what kind of experiences that person had. And maybe we understand exactly what happened there. And maybe that's why they have a disconnect in this life.
So how does it work for you, though? That's what I don't understand. Do you, like, see their past life in your head? Or, I mean, how does that work? I don't
that's
know.
Interesting. I've never been asked that question.
That's a good question. I mean,
yeah, like, what do you experience when you do?
Yeah.
It's a real, again, emotional and you feel a lot of energy in the room, but as far as me and I don't see anything. I'm definitely not a psychic or a medium. What I do is I use, you know, regression techniques. I'd use hypnotherapy on someone until they're in that state, which is basically the exact same state we fall into when we dream at night, where conscious mind is asleep and our subconscious is awake. And that now you can allow yourself to go into these past life memories. So when I'm asking these people that are my clients questions such as, you know, what do you see now? Where are you? Who's around you? What do you look like? Are you male? Are you female?
Oh, wow.
And then,
wow.
Yeah.
You see, so he doesn't have to experience any sensation. It's the patients pretty much telling him what they go through, what they see, I guess.
Yeah. And a typical past life regression session is about 3 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
So there's a lot of back and forth. Now, I never guide the client. I'll never say, like, do you see mountains and palm trees?
Right, right, right.
You know, I really just ask questions and they tell me what they see. And I take a lot of notes on that. And of course, I videotape every session. So then I give them a copy of the session and they can watch it later on and read my notes. And then we can discuss what their thoughts are.
Yeah. Wow, very cool. So this happens through hypnotherapy, hypnosis.
Yes.
And how long have you been doing hypnosis now?
Oh, 15 years.
Really?
I started out as a comedic hypnotist. I toured all the comedy clubs, universities, casinos.
Like for entertainment purposes.
Yeah. Where I did that for, you know, I did you know, for that for 7 countries a year, 200 shows a year where I traveled.
Wow, oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was crazy. I had a show on MTV. I toured with the guys from Jackass. I mean, we were really, really, really funny.
Yeah.
And I would go up there and make people do really ridiculous things for 2 hours.
Oh my gosh.
You know, like fall in love with their chair or make love to one of those 3D dolls you're talking about.
Oh my gosh.
Really, really crazy things. But then I understood how strong the subconscious was. And I thought, well, maybe I should, you know, help people with this instead of just entertaining people with it. So I got a master's in clinical hypnotherapy and I learned how to treat people properly. So that's where it all began. And then people asked me about past life regression and I didn't believe in it, but I started trying it to see what kind of results I could get. And I was fascinated.
Really? That's so cool. Mm-hmm.
So how do you learn how to guide them through it? I mean, you said you don't lead them, but you guide them through this journey, let's say. How do you, I mean, how do you get to the point where I can understand you put them under and they, and you become more open, right? More suggestible. And you're more like prone to tell someone what's going on in your mind, right?
So, that's a great question because there's really two types. There's the hypnotherapy, hypnosis, where you're, let's say somebody, we said, like, it doesn't have any motivation, they lack self-confidence, or whatever, they want to lose weight, okay? That's really an A to B conversation I'm going to have with that client. So when I guide them through hypnosis, I relax them. Once they're in the hypnotic state, I'm now going to tell their subconscious they're not going to like certain types of foods.
Oh my gosh.
Not to eat certain times a night so that they're going to be able to have less calories, feel fuller, faster, and start losing weight that way.
Right.
That's how it would work with losing weight. So really A to B, me convincing the subconscious to act a certain way, a more positive way.
Right.
When it comes to past life regression therapy, it's the complete opposite. So again, they are in a suggestible state, but that's why I said I don't guide them. I ask them questions.
I see. Okay.
But your conscious mind, the logical part of your mind is the part that always kind of says what's right and what's wrong. It's your governor. That's why when you can relax that, you can open up all of those memories and access all of these different things that are stored in your subconscious.
Right. Not as many inhibitions, let's say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Very cool.
That's awesome.
That gives you a lot of power, but that's why you have to be responsible and with it.
Yeah.
You have to use it.
We're going to have to hypnotize Kelsey, though.
Yeah, there you go.
No responsibility required.
Exactly. We'll have to be off the air so nobody knows what we're doing to you.
Oh, my gosh. That's hilarious.
I know, but that's funny. Wow. So this is pretty interesting stuff. Now, so you have a clinic, right? Yep. And people come to you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I treat people I'm in a medical tower on Sunset Boulevard. And I have an office there where I see clients, you know, daily for
all kinds
of ailments. And it's nice, you know, you really help people. And what's great about hypnosis is that it's like non-intrusive medicine.
Yeah,
basically.
Exactly.
So instead of giving someone a pill to quit smoking or a pill to be, you know, more positive, you work on their subconscious where it actually comes from.
That's so cool.
So that actually works, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, if we were to do hypnosis here, it's boring to do on radio, right? Because it's like you just kind of have to relax and it's quiet and all that stuff. You can't really do it. But how did you do it, like, for entertainment? How did it work
there? Before I came, you know, when I was touring as a comedic hypnotist, I probably did, like, honestly, like 300 interviews on radio. But what I would do to hypnotize one of the co-hosts or something,
right,
or several of the listeners that would drive in, I would take them into a separate room.
Okay.
Do the hypnotic induction, which takes really like 6, 7, 8 minutes. That's why it's way too boring for radio.
Right, exactly.
And that part of it. But then once they're hypnotized, you'd bring them back on air and tell them that they're Britney Spears and they can sing.
Oh my gosh, I saw that at a BPA convention.
What's BPA?
Business Professionals of America, when I was like a kid. it a long time ago.
Uh-huh. You saw Hypnotist?
Yeah. Cool. It was so funny. And she sang Britney Spears. The girl who was it was hilarious. That's what reminded me of it. But so is anybody not hypnotizable?
That's a really good question. I have, you know, generally speaking, anyone of sound mind, anyone who's intelligent can be hypnotized. Now, it really depends on that moment and their energy of that minute that you're dealing with the therapist. Like, first of all, am I comfortable? Two, am I willing to be hypnotized?
Right.
You know, so that's where the big block comes. When my clients come to see me at the office, it's different. They want to be treated.
Of course, right, of course.
So they're in the right state of mind. When volunteers come up on a stage and we're doing a comedic show, I'll ask for 20 or 30 people to come up. And out of them, I'll probably get, you know, anywhere from 12 to 15 hypnotized. The other ones I'll get rid of.
Okay.
So it depends. There's that nervousness factor. There's all these different factors that can affect it.
Right.
But it's like falling asleep at night. If I said to you right now, Kelsey, close your eyes and fall asleep, you're going to say, what? No, I'm on air. I don't feel like it. But if it was late at night and, you know, I said, oh, you're tired, just go ahead and go to sleep. You'd say, yeah, you know what? It makes sense. I'll go to sleep.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So when clients come see me, I'll say, you know, close your eyes and follow this process with me. And they'll say, sure, I feel like doing that. I want to be treated. So,
So they go along with it.
Yeah.
Very cool. How did you become interested in all this?
That's a good question. I was 12. I was like,
we only ask good questions.
Yeah, I see that.
Yes, we do.
The show should be called Good Questions Radio.
Exactly. Good.
That's great. I was, I guess I was 16 or 17, and I saw a hypnotist at a fair like you've seen. And and I thought, I understand the energy transfer that he's doing to the people up there. And I thought it was really funny. I just thought he was a little bit old fashioned, and he, you know, we could do a better show. So.
How interesting.
I went home and I hypnotized my sister I wonder if this will work. So, you know, and she was like 3 years older than me and she was stubborn and all that. And she said, that won't work. You can try. I said, all right. And I hypnotized her and then I had her like clean my room and do my dishes.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, that's great.
That's cool, you see. So you realized the power early on.
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Gosh.
But so you got into but how did you start getting into past lives? I mean, what fascinated you about it?
So it was really my clients who were coming to see me for other types of therapy
uh-huh.
that started asking me about it. And then they turned me on to a guy named Brian Weiss, who wrote a book called Many Lives, Many Masters in the 80s, who was a really famous psychiatrist. And he had like past life experiences with his client. And he started doing it and wrote a really famous book. I mean, it's a number one bestseller for years. I think it still is, like
really?
30 years later. Yeah.
What's
it
called?
Many Lives, Many Masters.
Okay.
So it's all about the experience that one of his client has going through like 60 different past lives or something. It's really amazing where she speaks all these different languages. She connects with all these different. And some of my clients do that too.
You're kidding. They've never spoken a language and they'll just start speaking it to you?
They can access that language from way back in a past life. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. Isn't that spooky? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. It's pretty cool though. But I mean, I think that's pretty good proof that this stuff actually exists, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different, you know, on the television show Past Lives that I host.
Right.
It's an hour long show and basically there's two people that come on per episode and we go through the past life regression and we go through their experiences. But we had a team of researchers that worked on the show. So like if Kelsey was regressed and she said, I'm here, I'm in Spain, it's, you know, 1725, I'm married to a man named such and such, I have three children, they go to this school, we live on this street, I do this for a living, my husband does this for a living. We actually have a team that goes back to the records, like the birth records, marriage certificates, all uh-huh. that historical stuff that we find in Spain, and we actually find proof of Kelsey, who was then named Maria something, right? Whatever comes out. And then we present it back to Kelsey and see how she feels about that experience now.
Oh, my gosh. So people actually get that detailed about...
We find some really wacky proof. It's amazing. You know, every time
oh
I'm still stunned
God.
By it.
What network does it air on?
So it aired on Lifetime Movie Network for...
Oh, LMN.
Yeah, LMN, yeah. part of their paranormal programming on Saturday nights.
Oh, great.
It's done. You know, the show's not airing now, but I'm working on a new TV show right now, so it'll be exciting when it comes out.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I'll have to watch reruns. Huh? That's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. So when can people watch it, actually? I mean, is it on
so now? It's not on now. It stopped airing last year.
Right.
So
don't they have archives or something where people
can Yeah, there is, back? Actually. You can find it if you Google Reincarnated Past Lives. If you Google that was the whole name of the title.
Okay.
Or Damien Bertrand Past Lives.
Okay.
You can see where you can actually watch it online, yeah.
Oh, cool, because I'd love to see it.
Yeah.
I don't want to wait till you start the other show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, that's pretty cool.
We should have you on, Sam.
Yeah, I know. That would be cool, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it makes you feel vulnerable, but at the same time, it's fascinating, you know? But obviously you hear some negative things, right, that people come up with. I mean, things that they did, maybe, I don't know, they killed somebody in another life or something like that. Do you tell them those things, too?
Well, yeah, because I like to be an open book with the clients,
and
right?
And plus, you record them anyway.
Yeah. Right.
You can't, like, hide it, right?
Yeah. I'd need your software to edit the program. Back when you were doing that. No, I like to be an open book with people, and they're giving me their time, you know, when they come to see me, so I don't like to rob them of their time, meaning, like, not tell them the full story of what they said.
Right.
So, I mean, even if it is, let's say, which rarely happens, by the way, there's obviously some emotional stuff that comes out, but not like,
sure,
I was a mass murderer.
Right. Well, what are the odds? You know? I mean, how many mass murderers are there?
Yeah,
right, exactly.
Yeah, if in fact that happened, I'd probably be a little bit worried. Right?
But does the personality and traits, do they carry over into...
Portions do,
that's
yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
I think that's like the nature part as opposed to nurture, right?
Yeah.
It's like you're already born with these things, and you probably carry them with you. But then there's a lot of other things that affect you from your environment, your family, you know, whoever you're around, wherever you're born.
Yeah.
You know.
There's just so much unknown, you know, that tapping into the subconscious memories is fascinating to me because...
Oh, gosh, me too.
You know, I mean, we live these lives that are controlled really by our understanding, our conscious... You know, we think we live in this 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week life, but that's not really what's happening in time and space. I mean, if you look at it from a metaphysical standpoint, how, like, the world actually turns and lives, we're such a small speck in time.
Yes. Oh, yeah, yes. Exactly.
You know,
and in, like, space as well.
Yeah,
right?
So there's got to be more to it than this. You know,
right.
There's really got to be.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's logically. That's just the way we're thinking, you know. But
it's right, logically.
I mean, but we have no evidence or anything. But, I mean, it's pretty compelling that something's going on.
Well, right? And I think, like, you hit it on the head there when you said logically. I think we need to – our conscious mind is there to protect us and make us keep us normal and sane. So instead of giving us all of the access to all this maybe bizarre stuff out there, it keeps it focused so that we can just say, okay, our lives are going to be normal. We'll be good to the person next to us.
Exactly. We don't need to know too much, I think, you know.
Sometimes.
It's by design. Yeah. I mean, I don't see any flaw in this creation, you know what I'm saying? I mean, everything's like so perfect and flawless, so you figured, you know what, the thought behind us not knowing everything that's out there is probably also by design.
It's probably a reason for it. Yeah,
you know. Yeah. And maybe we shouldn't know these things. I mean, look at the atom and stuff, you know. I mean, we can destroy ourselves a few times over now. Was it really worth knowing about it? You know what I'm saying?
The atom bomb, so, you mean?
The atom bomb.
Sure, yeah,
yeah.
Sometimes we go too far with certain things, yeah.
Yeah, you know, so, yeah. So, Damien Bertrand, his show is Past Lives, a simple title to tell you exactly what it's about. You can catch it every Tuesday at 4 o'clock on Channel 1 right here on LA Talk Radio. And there's, of course, archives. You can just look him up on the website since December. Where else can people find you? Do you have a website, your social media?
Yeah, I do all that kind of stuff. You know, Twitter.com / Damien Bertrand, and then Facebook. Okay. And Facebook is actually a verified, you know, celebrity page. So it's like...
fancy.
Wow, excuse me.
I didn't want to say it. I know. I knew you were going to make a comment.
it can happen.
I knew, but there's another Damien Bertrand that isn't me that has a Facebook.
Ah,
okay, good.
That's why I bring it up.
And besides, so like, why not?
Real, yeah,
yeah, why not? I mean, yeah, if you no, can,
great.
Yeah.
But it's what just that you got to go / real Damien Bertrand. Not me, not the guy in Louisiana that's like, I don't know, he works for Esday Lauder or something. I'm not sure.
Oh, interesting.
Isn't that funny when you find like namesakes and you go, wow.
Well, you know, I'm literally like the only Kelsey Bolin in the entire world.
Really?
No way. That's impossible. If you go to Ireland, there must be a lot of them. Are you Irish background?
Well, genetically, I probably am, but Bolin is my last name, so that's very German.
Oh, German. Yeah. I thought Kelsey. Okay, it just sounded interesting. Well, you go to Germany, there's going to be another one.
Probably. But I don't know. I mean, they're nowhere online.
Yeah. Ooh,
that's amazing.
It's absolutely bizarre.
That's pretty cool.
So it's like a good thing
so
and a bad thing.
So you're able to get a domain name.
Yeah, it's a good thing and a bad thing.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, okay, no one ever has any problem finding me, but it's like, I better not do anything illegal. Or
yeah, exactly.
Because I'm like, it wasn't me. But... What are you talking about? Well, Kelsey Bolin, brunette, green eyes, lots of those.
Yeah.
But at least it was easy for you to get your domain name.
Well,
name,
you know, right? Ironically, it actually wasn't. I got KelseyBolin.net, but somebody had, they
squatted you?
Yeah.
Really?
And they're still freaking doing it, trying to get me to pay them like, you know, $1,000 for the damn domain name. And yeah, I won't do it because I'm like. Ugh.
Yeah, exactly. Because websites are not as important as social media anymore, it seems,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so or I'm like keep your KelseyBolin.com.
Exactly. Yeah. Go to hell. Exactly.
I know.
Yeah, like, what do they benefit out of that? You know, nothing.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's... Yeah, but like you said, they're squatters. They sit there and they try to blackmail you, you know? I remember at the beginning of the internet, though, you could kind of do it. I mean, there was a whole story about Coca-Cola that somebody owned the name. Remember that?
Yeah.
And then they had to buy it from him.
I know. Yeah. That's
today, they don't let you do it anymore. Today, if it's your brand, you get it. The court will decide you get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
You know?
Like.
Yeah. But... You know, I mean, it's your brand, you know. And
I had a guy buy back in the internet.com days, back in the late 90s.
Right.
I worked closely with a bunch of different companies, like IT companies. And this one guy started this IT company. He wanted a cool name, so he called it, he bought rebel.com.
Oh.
And it was created a lot of hype for him. It really helped him generate, like, revenue
I'm
and
sure.
money. And it was... You know, folded eventually. But it was like, yeah. A few years there, he was riding pretty high on it. And he paid like $100,000 for that name from someone.
Oh,
yeah. No, I know. I mean, in the 90s, the domains were the in thing because you didn't have Google. So people would just type in.
Right, so you had to just type it in, yeah.
Exactly. And type in traffic was the most valuable because it was like targeted. It's just like on Google. You're looking exactly for that and that's what you get. And so that's why like sex.com and porn.com were worth so much money.
So much money, yeah.
Because that's what people would type in. You know, the first thing when they sit under a new computer.
Interesting.
Yeah. So they were worth a lot. I mean, I know for, I remember reading, like, some of these domains, and they sold for, like, $70,000, $100,000, which today is nothing. They make millions.
Yeah.
They make millions. Mm. So, yeah, some people knew the value of domain names and invested in them.
We should have bought a dictionary and just took every single name.
That's what some people did.
Oh, my God.
That's what some people did. So that's why people come up with weird names now, you know, because they're not taken.
Exactly.
Aren't we almost creating a new language by, like you're saying, by coming up with these weird names for a company like Zynga or Zynga or this?
Exactly.
And this.
Yeah. And Yahoo.
Because everything's taken. And
right.
It's like, what do you do?
Exactly. So they come up with names and, you know, with that are misspelled or something or without the vowels or something, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, look, the internet has changed quite a bit today. It's part of our lives. But in the 90s, it was just coming into being. And it was the Wild West then. You know, nobody controlled anything.
Yeah.
You know. And you didn't have to pay sales tax. Now we have to pay sales tax on the internet.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know. But, yeah, it irritated me that governments have taken over this thing. Because it was meant to be like something that nobody owns. Nobody owns the internet, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of laws that govern it now, so what are you going to do, you know?
Who is the internet? Like who, like you said, nobody owns it, but where is it all stored, the main?
There isn't. There isn't a main thing at all. Everything is like distributed. Everything is on separate computers. So think about it. You have gateways into which is your ISP, right? Mm-hmm. Your service provider. That's like your gateway to the internet. They connect you like the phone company connects you from one to another. But the phone company has central offices. The internet doesn't. It's just everything sits on servers in different places and stuff. It's just an infrastructure where it's, that's why they call it the web, because everything's connected to everything.
Oh, web, okay. I got
you. Yeah, you know? So, yeah, it's something like that. But nobody can own it, you know? Mm. The government started the infrastructure and everything for scientists and for security stuff. But other than that, they just decided to continue to developing it, and then commercial companies decided, hey, you know, we're going to do something with it. It used to be called ARPANET, which was like the acronym for something for the military. But eventually it became the internet, and yeah, you can't put the genie back in the bottle. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
It's out now.
It's out now.
Well, I would not want some lives. Genies back in the bottle. Like, I don't know what I would do without GPS.
Really? Right?
I would, like, be perpetually wondering.
Right.
Like, more than I already am.
I know.
Especially in a town like this.
Yeah.
Oh, you know?
David, did you live here when we used to have the Thomas Brothers guides? Was like a... How long have you lived in L.A.?
14 years. I moved up from Canada, yeah.
Yeah, you see, even before that, I'm talking like 30, 40 years ago.
Oh, my God.
They would have a book this thick, like a novel or something, with all the maps of the streets of L.A. So if you need to find a street, you'd look on the index, you'd find the name of the street, it would give you the page where it's on, and then the coordinates, like B7 or something, and you'd find it in that square, and then you go, oh, so I have to take this freeway and that freeway to get there and everything, and it was just crazy. It was crazy, but that's how like salespeople and delivery people would get around.
Wow.
You know, no GPS. In fact, I remember when I learned how to fly, that was in the it was in the early 90s, before the internet. I had to fly without GPS. I mean, I flew cross-country from Vegas to Arizona. I lived in Vegas at the time.
Oh, my gosh.
I flew from Vegas to Arizona. I sort of like got lost, but I found my way.
Ah.
But I'm telling you, only based on a map and a transponder that I didn't understand how it worked anyway.
So,
and here I'm flying, you know. And, wow, that's a long story, but...
You're flying VFR, so you're just going by visual.
Yeah, visual pretty much.
Yeah, I got my license, too. In the late 90s, we weren't using GPS up in the planes either. You know, the Cessnas and all the little planes.
They have the transponder and stuff, right?
And you got to just... If you're going far enough, you start talking to the small towers so they can kind of guide you. But you're really... It's bizarre to be flying a little plane like that with no
GPS or anything. But people did.
And you can't fly around looking for it too long or you'll run out of gas.
Right. But you know,
you're coming down.
I mean, I was at a point where I actually, and you're at 12,000 feet, you know, flying the Cessna, and you're trying to navigate as well.
Yeah.
You know, so you're looking at the map, you're hoping you're not going to like start sinking or something.
Oh my God.
And then somehow on the map, I recognized the mountains that I was seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And that helped me navigate back to Arizona. And then I arrived there, and there's no tower. You know how some small airport have no tower?
Yeah.
Small airports have no tower. They just have the strips.
So how do you know you're not going to run into somebody?
Well, so you announce it. People announce it. So you go, for example, or Cessna, blah, 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 ready for takeoff or ready for landing. And then the other pilots know, too.
Oh, nice.
That are in the area.
Okay.
Right. But what happened to me is as I'm approaching, all these different planes were flying around me. And I'm like, what the hell is going on here? So I finally landed. You know, I mean, like you freak out.
Yeah.
So I finally landed. I realized there was a competition there, like an air show or something. Nobody bothered to tell me. Wow.
That's scary.
So that's scary.
You're doing pirouettes and stuff.
Yeah. You know, but I got to tell you, but my other story, and I tell this to every time I talk about this, but when you learn how to fly, they show you how to do stalls because the plane sometimes will stall when you take off. So they want you to know how to come out of it. So one time the instructor put it into a spin.
Ah!
Because he said, you know, if you stall and you go into a spin, you need to know how to come out of it. Sure enough, Kelsey, you're going into a spin vertically towards the earth, right? So, but he got us out of it. So what? So during my solo flights, one time I got myself into a spin.
Oh my
by
God,
mistake,
you're kidding.
By mistake, because I stalled too much. I started heading towards the earth. Everything was spinning. And I'm just, I just remember yelling, God, no, not yet. I'm not ready.
Oh my God.
Right? Now, luckily, I was high enough, you know, like 10,000 feet or something that, and I was able to remember how to come out of it because your wheel doesn't work when you're vertical like that.
Right.
You know, the ailerons don't do anything. So you have to use the rudders in the back, so which you use your feet with, not your hands. So you have to remember all that. And when you're into spin and you don't expect it, Kelsey, I thought I was going to die.
Oh, my God, seriously. That's so scary.
Somehow I got out of it. And when you do, you have all these G-forces on your head, you know, because it's like you're coming back up like this, pulling back up. And, my God, you're disoriented and everything. So you flew too. Do you still fly?
No, I haven't. You know, it was kind of one of those challenges I decided to do one summer. I had some time, and I said, I'm going to get my pilot's license. So I went to Ottawa International Airport up in Canada. And it's really the big airport that has the Boeings, the big jets flying into. And we're going and taking off and landing in the same strip. I went through a few of those experiences that you're talking about. One of the things for me was glare. You know what I mean? In your windshield.
Yeah.
So if you hit, when you're at a certain level and the sun hits your windshield, you don't see anything. Mm-hmm. Like it's like a wall of light.
Wow,
And then you're looking for the other planes. And if you're in the circuit, if you remember the circuits you have to do.
Yes, I do the pattern,
So, but one of the things, I don't know if you remember this, that I used to be able to identify on the ground. And I wonder if you've ever seen this. When you're driving on a highway, you'll see like a big, it looks like big rocks, maybe usually in white, where there'll be like a big P onto the side of a mountain, or there'll be like a big, like LA written. And the reason that they do that, like a P would be for Pasadena.
Yeah.
So when you're flying, you can identify some of those markers to keep you, you know, okay, I'm on the side. So if you guys are ever driving and you see one of those big lettered things, now you know what it's about.
I've never seen it.
Like CB Valley, I think, has it or something. I think I've seen it there. But that makes sense, you know? Wow, that's pretty cool. So they mark the ground for you.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. You see, I've never flown here in L.A., only in Vegas, so I don't know what it's like flying here. I would love to. But I've kind of gotten afraid of planes in my older age. So
I like to be on the ground now, too.
Yeah.
Right.
I'll keep the ground as well.
Yeah, right?
Oh, my God.
Do you fly at all? Or?
No.
No?
Well, I travel. Yeah, travel, sure, sure, sure. Yeah, all the time, yeah. But no.
Well, not a Cessna by herself.
No, I would. Oh, my God. I'd be like, my Xanax, where's my Xanax?
right. Can you imagine flying a plane on
Xanax?
I'm
like chugging the whole bottle. Sorry, Doc, I need a refill.
For those of you just joining us, we're talking to Damien Bertrand. His show is Past Lives. So you've lived here for 14 years.
Yeah.
And you mentioned Canada. Is that where you're from?
Yeah, I grew up in Canada. I still have a lot of family there. I still go up there to do work with different clients. You know, I was just, I go probably 5-6 times a year back to the Ottawa, Montreal, Toronto area.
Right.
So we're up on the East Coast.
Okay.
And I was literally there, you know, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
And it was a little cold, you know?
Oh, gosh.
It is, huh?
Yeah.
It's like you kind of forget after a while, right? You live here.
And, you know, it's like not just that. When you get there, you become really, you know, weak to the cold. So when you get there, like your blood, you can't believe people live in this.
Yeah,
you
know, you're just not used to it.
Just shock. Like, it's freezing.
I know.
Wow.
Where are you from? Here?
Texas.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I like this warm weather.
Yeah.
It's for me. Even at night when it's cold, I'm like, oh my gosh,
nice.
I don't have enough insulation for this. Yeah. So, my dad always gives me shit because he's, but I'm like, dude, you're hairy and you're like plump. Like, I'm like 110 pounds.
You
like,
really think that hairiness helps?
Well, he's like, yeah, it does, right? Like,
excuse me, it's not like a bear or a dog.
Well, that's debatable.
That's fur.
And, yeah. You know, and like more meaty too. I'm yeah. like, yes, I'm cold. So, yeah, I like it at like 78 degrees. I like warm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, for Montreal, is that where you're from then?
Well, I was born just outside Montreal, and then I grew up in Ottawa. Ottawa's the capital. It's a couple hours right. away from Montreal. And, yeah, it's a great city, about 1 million people, a beautiful city.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of
I was there when
there.
I was very young, but I remember it being nice. Yeah. When I was very young, I don't remember much from it.
Yeah.
You know what I do remember? We went to the premiere of the movie Tommy with the group Who. I don't know if you've ever heard. Have you heard of the rock opera, Tommy? Like a Pinball Wizard?
Yeah, that was a huge album.
Well,
yeah.
She doesn't remember. She's so new to this world.
Oh.
Well,
thank you.
Okay, relatively speaking. But no, that's not a bad thing. It's a great thing.
Yeah.
But no, the... yeah,
you saw that up in Canada?
Yeah.
Like in what city was that?
And it was 1975. It was in Toronto or Montreal. I saw that.
Sure.
And yeah, I see 75. You weren't even a glimmer in your parents' eyes back then.
No, I wasn't.
I'm telling you. And I was already going to see movies.
75.
I was 15 years old.
Oh, yeah. My God.
So it was
born
fun.
In 75, so I was,
really?
I didn't see it, but I
yeah, so you didn't see it. Yeah. But no, so I remember it was like the coolest thing for a 15-year-old to see the movie before anybody else in Israel got to see it, right?
Nice.
So, and we were on a trip here on vacation, so I got to see it. I brought a couple T-shirts. People just died. They were so jealous.
Oh, my God.
So that's the situation when you're a teenager. That's what you do. You know, you want to stand out. So that's what I remember from Montreal.
That's cool. No, they're great, you know, especially in the summer. I mean, it's beautiful up there.
Yeah.
And they've got, you know, great restaurants, great nightlife, great culture up there. It's I kind of miss that part of it. But as far as living, I'd much rather wake up here in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
Going, yeah.
Yeah, I know. So, well, very cool. So, if you guys want to listen to more of Damien, you can listen to him every week. And, of course, you don't have to wait for the live shows. You can listen to all the past shows. They're all archived on this page. And he's easier to find right here on LA Talk Radio. So, don't miss that.
And that's why I like being on the station with you guys, is that it's all archived. And you guys have some really cool guests. I listen to your show.
Oh!
Thank you.
Thanks.
You guys are hilarious, by the way.
Thank you. But your show is cool too, right? So
yeah, I try to bring
in some. Yeah. So what do you cover on your show? Obviously, past lives and stuff. But what do? You don't hypnotize people. What do you guys talk about?
We do talk about you know, past life regression and people's belief in it and their experiences with it. But I bring in so many different guests, from like professional athletes to actors and actresses and other kinds of celebrities, that it's an interesting perspective from their point of view, is how, you know, what their beliefs are, and also what's made them, you know, become so successful, and what's made them chase their dreams. And, you know, we talk about everything, really. So that's kind of what makes it a little bit interesting, I think, for the listeners.
Sounds cool. And I noticed you had Kristen Renton here the other day.
I didn't even know she used to be on a show here.
She used to be a co-host here, yeah.
Oh, wow.
And she was blonde at the time. Now she's brunette, right?
I didn't even recognize her when I came. We know each other.
Yeah, I know.
We're
I didn't recognize her.
Oh, good.
Because when you...
you know Kristen?
I don't, no.
Oh, she's an actress from Sons of Anarchy, Days of Our Lives.
Oh, wow.
The list that goes on and on.
Yeah, she's very cute, too.
You're beautiful, yeah. She's very beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. So the thing is, so when you put a link on Facebook, I clicked, and I said, wait a minute. It's like, because I recognize the name. But I said, wait a minute. It's like... she's supposed to be blonde.
Yeah.
So then I realized that she must have colored her hair or something. But
it was funny because she's like, when, you know, like I said, we're good friends, but I haven't seen her in a year because she's been all over the world filming.
Sure.
And she's working on so many different TV shows and everything. And then I walk in here and she had a blonde friend with her.
Right.
Oh, you thought it was her.
So I come up and I'm like, hey, from like the
door. The blonde one.
She gets up and she's like, and I'm like, oh, shoot.
Yeah,
you got black hair now.
How funny.
Whoa. Oh, that's funny. So, Damien, how can people find you? Social networks, website. I see you have a website, DamienBertrand.com.
Yep.
So you did manage to get your name.
Yeah.
And
I know.
So you guys can get to his social media and his website from his page on our website, which is probably the easiest to find. Fascinating stuff. It's like... I'm really interested in this, you know, and maybe we'll schedule a session or something.
That'd be awesome.
I have a lot of things I could fix in my life, so maybe we'll find a couple that you can actually deal with.
He's like, I'm going to need 2 weeks with you.
Yeah. Thank you, Kelsey.
Just kidding.
I know. All right, everybody. Well, Damien, thank you for joining us again.
Thank you.
All the best
me.
To you. And so I guess people can contact you where in order to get a session with you?
Yeah, if somebody needs any kind of, they want to talk about different kinds of therapy that
right.
I do, and they can definitely just go to my website, DamienBertrand.com, and there there'll be the my office's email, which is info@DamienBertrand.com. My assistant, Kristen, will reach out to them and, you know.
Sounds good. Sounds good.
Thank you so much.
All right, of course. Kelsey, thank you as always.
Yes, my
Thanks,
pleasure.
Everybody, for joining us, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Kelsey, only on LA Talk Radio.